Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Couple quick show notes. First of all, somebody sent me a t-shirt from Australia, but it says, I love Singapore. And unfortunately, it wouldn't fit me in a million years. Okay, and I'm just, it's an extra large, but I think it's a Southern Hemisphere extra large. Because like I said, that looks more like a medium or a small to me. So maybe I'll get a model to try it on or something, but unfortunately that wouldn't stretch over my frame. But I do appreciate it. Thank you very much. But it's kind of funny. I apparently cracked a joke about Singapore. I don't remember what the joke was now. But a guy wrote me and said, Steve, I'm a big fan of yours. I'm in Australia, but I go to Singapore all the time. It's not that far from here. And, you know, we forget that. You know, like the people who are not near us might be surprised how often I go to Canada. For instance, I actually run over there in October and run back as part of the Detroit Free Press Marathon. And, you know, it's an international border. But, you know, so these things, you have to understand how things are around the world. But second of all, what made me think of that was I got another thing from Australia yesterday in the mail. And again, this is a mug to be added to the mug collection. And it's from JB from Oz, which is, of course, Australia. And JB says, I am a maker with a keen interest in mechanical, electrical, and organic systems. And there's a picture of his mug on the mug. And a list of the places where you can find him. Thingiverse, Flickr, Etsy, RepRap, and of course, YouTube. But he has a channel on YouTube. So check him out on YouTube. JB from Oz. And he sent along the mug. So the mug will go in the back shelf there. I'll wedge it in somewhere. And I should also probably mention that the shirt I'm wearing was donated to me yesterday. Showed up in the mailbox as well. My post office box is crammed full of stuff. And in there was this cool shirt of the dog. And thank you very much. I know that this is affiliated with the Roadkill guys, and I like those guys a lot also. If you don't know who they are, look them up, Roadkill car guys. But they come to the Detroit area every year for the Woodward Dream Cruise, and they actually set up this huge event where they let people drag race on Woodward Avenue. It's all organized, and it's very, very cool. But they apparently had a dog that they wanted to commemorate on a t-shirt, so I appreciate that. Of course, Milo and Wolfie are commemorated at the end of every single video I do if you actually sit through the credits. But today we've got to talk about something that's very, very interesting and strange to me, but it's one of these things I think we can all learn from. Americans' life savings disappear from Mexican bank accounts. This is from Bloomberg. And, you know, it's one of those things where half the audience right now is going, oh, it's horrible. The other half is going, wait, you put your money in a Mexican bank account? Why would you do that? And we forget often that things in other countries are different than they are here. So for instance, I put my money in a bank, I think it's safe because of the FDIC. That's the federal entity that insures bank accounts up to a certain amount. If the bank fails, the bank is gone, the FDIC will step in. So no one worries about banks in America. So when people travel to other countries, they just assume, well, the banks in America are safe, the banks here must be safe. And this isn't just banks. I mean, I know people who go to other countries and do something and go, but that would be legal, you know, perfectly legal in America. Might not be legal where you are. You know, so you have to understand what the local laws are and so on. And, you know, I know people who bought real estate in other countries. And I'm like, I'm curious, like, how do you know how that works? Some countries you might hope it works, but you never know. So how do banks in Mexico work? Well, it turns out not very well. This is a story, like I said, by David Welch, and it ran just a couple days ago. In late December, Kathy Machir called Marcela Taylor, her banker of 9 years, at Mexico's Monex Casa del Bolsa to get cash for contractors who are building her retirement home in San Miguel de Allende. Typically, Taylor would wire the money or dispatch her assistant, Juan, on his motorcycle, and he'd bring cash in an envelope filled with pesos. Monex has $5.2 billion U.S. in assets and operations in the U.S. as well, and it was working with Machir and 10,000 other Americans who've moved to San Miguel de Allende, and I have no idea where that is, but the transfer did not happen. Juan never showed up, and Taylor wouldn't return the phone calls. So Kathy and Jim Machir discovered then that their nest egg was gone. When they went, other expatriates met with Monex officials in January, the bankers told some of them that about $40 million U.S. was missing from as many as 158 accounts, many of which had belonged to English-speaking Americans. A dozen people interviewed by Bloomberg News say that bank statements that Taylor sent them purporting to show full accounts were apparently falsified. Most say the bank has told them little since they filed complaints, and some say Monex tried to settle for them, you know, with them by saying that they would give them, you know, pennies in the dollar for what they lost. Kathy Machir says, when they told us that we only had 32 cents in our account, I just felt sick to my stomach. And since then, they've not dealt with us in good faith. The scandal has upended the expatriate community in San Miguel, which is a city of about 70,000 people. It's 500 miles south of McAllen, Texas. Mostly retirees, they have to navigate a society with fewer legal and financial protections than they would have gotten in the U.S., which is what I just said. Fraud is becoming more common, says Kevin Carr, founder of financial technology firm Finaden in Washington, D.C., and he's formerly the U.S. Department of the Treasury's primary representative in Mexico. Mexican authorities try to prosecute these cases, but they aren't successful. In 2018, there were 7.3 million complaints of fraud involving about $1 billion U.S., according to Condusef, Mexico's consumer protection agency, which it turns out they've actually got one. Who knows? That's more than double the number of claims in 2014. So this is obviously rising. Monex said in a statement that it's looking into accusations against Taylor. And Taylor would be the person who worked at the bank who apparently has disappeared. Legal action is continuing in the case, and details cannot be disclosed so as not to hinder the investigation. The bank is working with clients and has settled with 70% of them, says the spokesperson for the bank. An attorney representing Monex declined to be interviewed. Some clients interviewed by Bloomberg who settled for reimbursement say Monex required them to file charges with the, oh boy, Procuraduría General de Justicia, the equivalent of an attorney general's office in Mexico City. I should have just said that. That's where the bank is headquartered, and to name Taylor as the person they're complaining about. The agency did not respond to multiple requests for comment when asked by Bloomberg. Taylor has not been charged, and she said in a phone conversation that she's living in San Miguel but declined to comment further by instructions of my lawyer. And then, of course, they hung up. And then her mother says Monex has a lot to do with this, too. Taylor worked for Monex about 20 years, became a San Miguel's banker of choice by winning over expats with promises of fat returns on accounts she claimed were dollar-denominated and immune to the peso's fluctuations. She was a local royalty as the daughter of a former mayor and his Texas-born wife. And so the Machirs, after discovering their account had been drained, met Loyola, the outside attorney representing Monex. They say he blamed Taylor. They also say she probably couldn't have committed the fraud alone, but says that they were told, don't worry, we'll make you whole again. Now, almost 4 months later, with no reimbursement in sight, the Machirs have been liquidating assets to keep going. In January, Kathy cashed in her life insurance policy, and in March, they drove their Subaru to the U.S. and sold it for $9,000 because they had to pay their contractors with something. Kenneth Carger, a retired dentist in Fort Worth with property in Mexico, says Monex owes him about $400,000. He stopped getting statements after June, as did the Machirs. Carger says Taylor told him Monex was changing to a new online banking system and sent emails showing a plausible balance. Later, Carger went through statements he retrieved from Monex and found unauthorized withdrawals and wire transfers. A notarized letter that Carger's attorney sent to Monex executives in April lists 12 allegations of fraud, including transferring money to people whom the depositors did not know, making unauthorized investments, and changing account login information. And they point out that if a relatively low-level employee can go into your account, change your email address for notifications, change your password, redirect deposits, withdrawals, and wire transfers, then you have a kindergarten-level security system safeguarding tens of millions of dollars. And the guy actually says, part of this is my fault. I wasn't even remotely suspicious. Howard Haynes, who's 83, moved to San Miguel 22 years ago from Kansas City, Missouri. He says that Taylor was one of the first people he met when he moved there. She pitched him on Monex in 2004, promising security. Early on, his account returned 14% with stocks, such as Walmart of Mexico. Taylor would get him funds on short notice, and he then recommended her to friends. When she stopped returning calls in December, Monex told him his account, which he believed it held a substantial sum, had less than $13,000 in it. Haynes says when he obtained his real statement, it showed money had been transferred to people he did not know. So basically what's going on here is that a lot of people in Mexico, but of a, you know, from America, had invested money or put their money in a bank, believing it was simply a bank that the money would be safe in. But it turns out that, number one, it appears that the bank was not having the highest security available. But also it appears that the laws involving banking aren't the same in Mexico as they are in the U.S. And this is something that you should have looked into when you moved to another country and decided to put your money in the local bank. With modern banking as it is, you know, you probably have a lot of choices of places you can park your money. And I understand that you might want the money to be handy, but, you know, that question is it handy, but is it safe? And so that, of course, is a big question. So we'll see what happens with this in the future. But if you travel to another country, whether you travel there to stay there, you travel there to visit, or you travel there because you're considering moving there, as you do your research before you go, and you have to do research before you go, read up on the local laws. You might find out that some crazy law that you didn't realize was there that could get you in trouble that wouldn't get you in trouble in America. But likewise, you can't assume that real estate laws work the same way. You can't assume banking works the same way. You can't assume taxes work the same way. Drug laws might be different, heaven forbid. You know, so understand that stuff before you go, but certainly understand it before you put your money in a bank that is not an FDIC guaranteed bank in the U.S. So that's the situation with the Mexican banks. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.